Let's go out to dinner and see a movie. Let's go out to dinner and see a movie.
Dinner, movie, trivia, Friday's movie day. Rafer Guzman, takeaway movie contributor and film critic for Newsday, is in the house, or at least on a landline. Good morning, Rafer.
Morning, how are you?
So we're counting down to the Oscars, right? And I'm, you know, barely able to talk, but a little over a week remains until the big night. I've been screaming over all the 10 Best Picture nominees this year, five animated features, all the regular categories as well. You can't see everything, so we want you to help us sort through what we should see between now and the Oscars and what we can leave behind. First of all...
Right. I guess the most obvious one would be Avatar. I mean, you know, that's going to be the ultimate water cooler movie of the year. You don't want to be the guy standing around clutching your coffee cup with nothing to say when everybody else is talking about Avatar. I think that's a must-see.
Ladies and gentlemen... You are not in Kansas anymore. You are on Pandora.
You should see your faces.
We have an indigenous population called the Na'vi. They are very hard to kill.
Man, and just listening to audio does not really take you to where Avatar takes you.
But I see you in blue, John.
3D IMAX, yes. Nice nose there. What else, Rafer?
I think also I'd really like to push people to see The Hurt Locker, which is the other big frontrunner for Best Picture. You know, this thing has only made $12 million so far. I mean, that's like the equivalent of 20 bucks in Hollywood terms. It still seems to be a typical Iraq war movie that nobody wants to go see.
$12 million? That's Cameron's limo fee. Right.
Yeah, that's less than the production cost, I'm pretty sure. It's such an intense, such an incredibly well-directed movie. I really think people should get out there and see that film.
You've seen it, right, Lynn?
I have, and I thought it was just astounding. And by the way, when you were doing the news about Afghanistan today, you can't help thinking about that every
Indeed.
Time you hear
right.
the news.
No, it's absolutely iconic, unforgettable. You can't think about war in the same way if you've seen The Hurt Locker. Okay, so you think that's a big front runner. What's a less obvious movie that people need to see?
A less obvious movie, one that's kind of going under the radar, I think, is An Education with Carey Mulligan, who's also up for an acting award as well. And that is a really great coming-of-age story. And you know what I liked about that movie was it's not the typical coming-of-age movie where, you know, the teen is this kind of likable hero and some bad things happen and she has to say, oh, well, you know, life dealt me a few hard blows and I'll get over it. She makes a lot of really poor choices and brings a lot of bad things on herself and has to deal with it. And that seemed really realistic to me. And it occurred to me that the last time I saw a coming-of-age movie quite like that was The Graduate, where the hero
wow.
is really making some poor mistakes and has to kind of clean up his mess.
So he's saying see An Education. Lynn, is it just
yes.
because he's a youthful hipster?
I'm sure that he is a youthful hipster. But I would say the reason to see Education in addition is it is the flip side of Up in the Air.
Hmm. Oh, interesting.
And
interesting.
You have to see.
Up in the Air. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Up in the Air, we'll talk about it in a moment. The characters weren't really terribly likable. But let's talk about the two movies you said, which is kind of surprising to me, you could actually skip. First, there's the obvious one, The Blind Side.
There is a huge difference between paying for a broken arm and being legally responsible for someone. I mean, a kid we barely know.
That's another thing. We need to find out more about his past.
He won't talk about it. He's like an onion. You have to peel him back a layer at a time.
Not if you use a knife.
So skip The Blind Side?
I think you can skip The Blind Side. I don't quite understand why this is in the running for a Best Picture. I mean... It's amazing and everything that Sandra Bullock has got this, you know, Best Acting nomination. But, I mean, if you go see the movie, it's not as though she's going to knock you out of your seat. I mean, we all know that she's a pretty good actor. She does a good job in the film. But it's really just a very typical, middling movie, inspirational sports drama. Mm. White couple adopts the black teenager. There's just not anything that special about it.
All right, so typical movie and possibly a typical Hollywood backstory, which is why it's in Oscar contention. Precious, though. Skip Precious, really?
You know, here's what I'm saying about Precious. I'm a little on the fence about it. It's most people I talk to, when they say, should I see Precious? It looks so depressing. And I always think, well, it's not really a depressing movie. It does have a message of hope. It does have a message of triumph. It's got some amazing, amazing acting from people you'd never expect. Mariah Carey, for one. Monique, for another, obviously. But I think when all is said and done, it is kind of a typical urban message movie. You
Lynn,
do have...
Lynn.
No, I'm sorry. I don't buy typical...
You disagree.
I disagree. I like what you said at the top. I agree with you totally that it is uplifting. I agree with you that the acting is out of the park. I don't think it's typical at all. I think it's definitely worth seeing.
All right. A couple of other recommendations that maybe are not so obvious. Rafer says we should see A Single Man. Colin Firth is up for Best Actor. Lynn, you say skip that.
Watching paint dry.
Okay. Rafer says, yes, see White Ribbon. That's up for Best Foreign Film. Why, Rafer?
You know, I thought that was a really, really interesting movie. Michael Haneke, a German director, he is, you know, he's always a little more question than answer, which sometimes leaves me frustrated. But this movie I thought was really effective. I mean, it takes place in a small German town on the eve of World War One. All these horrible things start happening.
Right.
It seems like the kids might be responsible. Mm. You're not quite sure. Usually Michael Haneke kind of frustrates me, but I found this one really effectively creepy and thought-provoking.
All right. White Ribbon, and you also recommend The Fantastic Mr. Fox, which is not a kid's movie, and I would recommend that as well. But it's trivia time, Ray. Are you ready?
I think I'm ready.
All right, question number one. Oscar winner Peter Finch, we've been featuring his voice in our Frustration Nation segments all week.
Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad.
All right, so he holds an Oscar distinction. What is it?
Oscar winner?
Absolutely, you're right. Number two, okay. Can you name the two actors who won Oscars for playing the same character?
You know, I am not sure about that one. Is one of them Basil Rathbone?
No, absolutely not. Lynn, take it.
I know who it is.
Go, go.
The character is Don Corleone. Can you go from there, Rafer?
The two actors.
Oh, it's...
De Niro and Brando.
Now I'm going to blank on the...
I'm going to make him an offer to camera for you.
It's De Niro and Brando.
Okay.
Finally, okay, who has the most statues in any category?
I'm going to guess Hepburn. Catherine Hepburn?
No, it's Walt Disney. 26 total, including specials. And if you throw in the seven little statues they gave him in 1938 for Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, it goes up to 33.
Yep.
Thanks, Rafer. Thanks so much.
And if you want more movies, you can read a list of which Oscar-nominated movies to see or skip from Rafer and our producer, Kristen Meinzer. Just stop by thetakeaway.org and click on blog. And while you're there, catch up on anything you missed by getting our podcast. That's at thetakeaway.org.